This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And the power play starts now. Ovechkin scores! The faceoff win to him! Bang, bang, see you later! Ovechkin makes it 1-0, Washington!
Well, who else when you need a power play goal to get it going? Nice face-off win right to him. We've seen it so many times over the years. That quick snapshot. Obis had no chance on that one. A great, great shot. Good first goal. Power play goal. That's all. Everything we wanted.
Bring on Carolina. By the way, the Caps are underdogs against the Hurricanes. More on that coming up. But Washington has advanced past the first round for the first time in seven seasons since they won the Cup. They needed that. They got it. 4-1. They were the better team throughout. And Ovechkin last night off the faceoff on the power play with his fourth playoff goal as called by John Walton and company on the radio home for your Washington Capitals on our sister station 106.7. The Fan. Good morning, everybody. Max is with me. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN will join us on the show at 10:30. So Greg Wyshynski coming up in about 25 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on what just transpired and have him preview the upcoming series against Carolina. Carolina was waiting after they put away New Jersey the night before, 5-4 in double overtime, but to end that series 4-1 as well. Look, big picture, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and give you the hockey breakdown as to why the Caps are moving on against Montreal. Clearly, they got excellent goaltending from Logan Thompson, even though he had gotten injured at one point in the series. The Tom Wilson hit in Game 4 with the Caps trailing 2-1 in the third period was probably the biggest moment in this series. It led to the game-tying goal, and ultimately the Caps took Game 4. If not for the Wilson hit, we might be sitting here talking about the Caps having a series lead, not having a series already clinched. The Caps seemed to be the bigger, stronger team throughout. But man, there were a lot of moments in this series, including the first 7 or 8 minutes in the game last night, and for much of the third period last night, where Montreal certainly seemed up to the task. They just couldn't beat Logan Thompson last night. We know what their first line had the capability of being. You know, we saw that certainly in Game 1 when they came back to tie the game 2-2, a game in which the Caps ultimately won in overtime with the OV first overtime in the postseason goal ever. But that first line of Caulfield and Suzuki and Slavkovsky was, you know, held the deal with at times. They just didn't generate enough goals, even though they generated what seemed to be a lot of opportunities. But the Caps withstood it. They withstood those first 7 minutes. They didn't give up a goal. Logan Thompson didn't give up a goal. And they ended up getting one off that faceoff. What a shot by Ovechkin. What a season. And what a start to the postseason with 4 goals, second most so far in the entirety of the NHL playoffs. Montreal, everybody says, is young and they're coming, but they're not coming right now. Washington moves on, and I'm telling you, that for this franchise was a big deal, because had they not gotten through this first round, there would have been a lot of discussion about, once again, being playoff chokes. And the 7 year since the Cup would look even further in the rear view. It would be even more distant in the rear view. This was too much of an unexpected season in terms of performance, too much of a fun season because of Ovi to go out in the first round. And they didn't. You know, they got it done. They, Spencer Carberry, you know, made the comment that, you know, after the game that, we were able to accomplish something that we haven't accomplished in a while around here. At least he recognized that. But I don't think he has been around long enough to recognize what the discussion would have been had they not gotten through the first round. But they did, because they were the better team. They were the better team in most of their games this year, and it held up in the first round. Now you get Carolina. Carolina, I don't know anything about Carolina. That's why I'm having Greg Wyshynski on the show. And I'll have somebody else, a hockey guest, on the show tomorrow to preview the series. And probably Monday as well. But Carolina's favored. They are a minus 150 favorite in this series, even though the Caps have home ice advantage. Even though the Caps ended up with a better regular season than Carolina did. The Caps ended up with 12 more points than Carolina did this year. But Washington, we talked about this during the regular season, and we talked about it as we got ready to watch them in the postseason. For whatever reason, odds makers and some of the experts out there, they like Carolina more in the East. They like Florida more in the East. They liked Tampa more in the East. Tampa's gone now. Florida eliminated them in Game 5 last night. They liked Toronto and still like maybe Toronto more. But they're going to play the games anyway, and in hockey, you just never know, and goaltending is so big, and Logan Thompson has come up huge. Really, really big win. You could see on some level some relief at the end of the game as the handshake line took place. Like, thank God we're on the right side of this handshake, the winning side of this handshake, because it would have been painful had it gone the other way. But really, there was no threat of this series. Not at any point did it feel like, uh-oh, they're in trouble. You know, down 2-1, third period, game four, after they got whipped on Friday night, maybe you're thinking, we're pretty close to getting to 2-2. But the Wilson hit changed it, and they've got players that have been there and made plays like that. Wilson's one of them, and it was big. So they're moving on, and they'll start Monday night at home against Carolina. The rest of the postseason out west, all four of the Western Conference series are all still alive. They're all 3-2 series, while three of the four in the Eastern Conference are done. Toronto still has to win another game to close out Ottawa. They've got a 3-2 series lead there. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN's senior writer, will join me at 10:30 to talk about the series just completed and to preview the Carolina series. Now, Max is a big hockey guy.
That's right.
And a big Caps guy. So do you feel really good, or do you feel really relieved that they're through this first round?
A little bit of both, I'm being honest with you.
Yep.
A little bit of, because the goaltending for this series, I don't want it to be lost in any of the physicality or any of the confrontation that happened. It's outstanding goalie play from both teams, from Logan Thompson, from Dobesh, from Montembeau. They all played great. The Caps were just able to kind of stick to their game, not let Montreal kind of get into their heads in this in game five. So they just played discipline. They played a shutdown game, and I'm glad we're moving on. It is. I mean, moving on from a series in the NHL playoffs is always relieving. You know, there's always just a little like, okay, we can relax. We can shake it out a little bit.
Yeah. No, it's a good win, and this is a long time coming, because
yeah, first,
2018 is not just a few years ago now.
First time it's they clinched at home. Ago. First time they clinched at home in 10 years.
That's crazy. When
insane.
I saw that pop up last night, so I went and looked it up. They clinched at home over the Islanders that mm-hmm. year in a seventh and deciding game, 2-1, and then they ended up losing in the next series in seven to the Rangers. But that's crazy, considering that they've essentially been a playoff team almost every year, but I think two or three maybe.
Yeah.
During the, is it two or three?
I think it's two. Because 21 was the Reardon season that just went awry and they completely missed the playoffs and just didn't play well.
But it's amazing that it's been 10 years since they've clinched a playoff series at home. When I saw that pop up, I thought about 2018. I remember they closed it out in six at Columbus after, by the way, trailing in that series 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously, in that famous and really one of the all-time great wins in franchise history, beating Pittsburgh in game six in overtime on the road. And then they had to come back from 3-2 to beat Tampa, including winning 3-0 or 4-0 in game seven, because I know Tampa didn't score in those final two games. And then, of course, they won the cup in Vegas in a fifth game. So, been a long time. But, you know, it's seven of those years they hadn't won a series. Or for six of those seasons, they hadn't won a series anywhere, road or at home. Good for the Caps. Keep this, you know, time of the year rolling here. And look, it's hockey. They've got as good a chance as anybody else, no matter what the odds say. They'll have a shot against Carolina. And I know Wyshynski, when he's been on with us previously during this season, has said that he values the Caps a lot higher than some of the odds makers and some of the other people out there. So we'll get his thoughts coming up in just a bit. So I wanted to mention something that we'll end up taking calls on, I think, maybe a little bit later on in the show. But I yesterday was asked about, what are they going to do for a pass rusher? This came from Lars. Lars wrote, where's the pass rush coming from, Kevin? Is there another move they can make? Yeah, I mean, Za'Darius Smith is still out there. You know, he played last year in Cleveland and then got traded to Detroit when Aiden Hutchinson went down. He had 9 sacks. It's more than anybody Washington has on their current roster had last year. Za'Darius Smith is getting up there a little bit. People were a little bit concerned with his 2023 season in Cleveland after he left Minnesota with a big year and had multiple big years in Green Bay because he had just 5.5 sacks and he looked a little bit old and a little bit slower, but he had a good season last year. 2 different teams, 9 sacks. He's out there. But that's not the guy that I wanted to talk about, because when I got this, I just looked at sort of the remaining free agents that are out there and the moves that Washington could still make moving forward. And I came across this guy, and I'm interested. Nick Chubb, running back. Cleveland drafted 2 running backs last weekend. They drafted Judkins from Ohio State, and they drafted Sampson from Tennessee. A clear indication that they are not going to come back to Nick Chubb to try to get him on a 1-year, you know, deal. As he is 29 years old, will turn 30, I think, during the season next year. Nick Chubb has been, during the course of his career, at times, an elite running back. His issue, of course, has been staying healthy. Nick Chubb is 29 years old. Nick Chubb's had some incredible seasons. He rushed for 1,494 yards in 2019, averaged 5 yards a carry. In 2022, just 3 seasons ago, in 17 games for the Browns, 1,525 yards, 12 touchdowns, 5.1 yards per carry. He started off 2023 and before getting injured, 28 carries, 170 yards, 6.1 yards per carry. And then last year, after being injured and then coming back during the season, he had a season in which he rushed for just 3.3 yards and then broke his foot at the end of the season. This is the issue with Chubb. It's health more than anything else. He came back last year off of a knee injury in October and didn't look to be the same back. Now, Cleveland wasn't a very good team either. They were no threat to throw the football as long as Deshaun Watson was playing. Defensively, they were good, but they just wore down game in and game out because they just didn't have the quarterback play. And there was thought that Chubb may, you know, after multiple injuries, maybe that's it. Now, he's posted videos recently of himself working out. Andrew Berry, GM, said that he looks great. And he's out there, and he's available for probably a 1-year, not a total 100% prove-it deal, But I would bet it would be heavy on incentives. And there are teams sniffing around. Chicago apparently is very interested. They have DeAndre Swift, and that's essentially it. And I thought about him, and I'm like, you know, at his best, man, we have seen this dude dominate games. At his best, at his healthiest, he is a true lead back, every down back, and borderline elite. Like borderline up there with the best in the game. Obviously, this would be all health driven. He's got to, you know, meet your med team's, you know, specs on this guy's cool. The knee's good, the foot's good, the shoulder's good. This guy's fine. You know, now, will he get injured? He's proven to be somewhat injury. He just has the injury bug. He seems to be one of those guys that gets injured. But if he's healthy, healthy enough right now to be considered to be Nick Chubb, I'd take a flyer on him. Absolutely. I mean, they picked a running back in the seventh round. We can talk about Adam Peters cooking and playing chess over checkers and that Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt's going to be the steal of the draft. And I read somewhere, somebody sent me something that some draft analyst thinks he's going to be the steal of the draft. Okay, well, maybe. Nick Chubb's proven. And if you got him on a one-year, you know, $6, $7 million deal with a lot of it in incentives and not a lot of it guaranteed, sign me up for Nick Chubb. He's much better than Brian Robinson Jr. I think we can all agree on that. Now, you know, is he going to be healthy? Give it a shot. You know, you've got Brian Robinson Jr. if he breaks a leg or if he tears a knee again or if he breaks a foot or tears a shoulder. Whatever, you know, he's had everything. But I would definitely, the Za'Darius Smith thing, I'm okay with. You know, to me, you're trying to get, you know, the sack total that Fowler Jr. left you with, 10.5, regardless of what we say about him as a run stopper. He got 10.5 sacks last year for this team. You know, can they scheme up 10.5 for somebody else? You know, can they scheme up 10.5 for Dietrich Wise or Dorrance Armstrong or Frankie Louvu? Maybe. But I'd be really, really interested in taking a look at Nick Chubb. Again, there is some thought that when he came back last year, he was not the same player. Okay? I'm just saying, let's take a look. Let's make sure that he's not, you know, potentially going to be the same player again. There have been videos out there with him squatting 600 pounds. So, you know, him essentially saying the leg issues are behind me. You know, this dude's always had, you know, great feel for the game, great hands, been a great pass pro guy in the backfield. You know, part of the reason that Chicago is interested, Chicago's going for it to a certain degree. You know, they, in Ben Johnson's first year, you know, they're obviously very active in free agency with their additions for Caleb Williams. You know, they drafted Luther Burden in the second round. They drafted Colston Loveland, the tight end, in the first round. You know, they added Joe Thuney. They added, who did they add defensively? They added somebody old but really good defensively. Hold on, where is it? Oh, yeah, Grady Jarrett they added. I mean, Grady Jarrett was still good last year at 30-whatever years old he is. You know, and DeAndre Swift and Nick Chubb, I'm pretty sure were teammates at Georgia. It was like a 1-2 punch, Swift and Chubb at Georgia. I don't know, man. I'd like to see another NFC team be interested and take a shot because you know what? Washington could use a bellwether back. I'd be very interested in finding out whether or not Nick Chubb is healthy enough to be Nick Chubb next year. This dude, when he's been healthy and been on the field, has been elite. His career average yards per carry is 5.1. This guy finds the end zone. He's a home run threat. He is a short yardage threat. He's everything. He can catch the football out of the backfield. He had a season, the season in which he rushed for 1,494 yards year two in the league. He also caught 36 passes out of the backfield. Anyway, we'll come back to this. I'd be interested in just players that are out there that you've said, you know, there's still some guys out there, and I'll mention some of the other guys. But Chubb would be really interesting to me. I still think Washington needs a running back. You know, not knowing much other than what I watched, like all of you did, about the rookie running back that they took in the draft, Merritt. All right. We'll do a quick what do you got when we come back, and then we will have Greg Wyshynski on to talk Caps and preview Caps Hurricanes. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.